from the bottom of my heart to each and every single person that made the effort and took the time out to come through to the national rally, thank you. Give yourselves a round of applause. It was great to see you there, especially the folks that are non-CMA members. I think some of the folks there don't even own bikes or have bikes, but you came and visited anyway. I trust that you enjoyed being there as much as we enjoyed having you there. The fellowship that we had at the braai and stuff like that, with mixing and interacting with people, just awesome. Thank you. God bless you. Thanks for making the effort of staying there and visiting with us. It's really great dat ons saam kon kuier, dat ons vreed saam kon kuier. It was very lekker. Thank you to every single one of you for doing that. Thank you to Leonard and Diane for making Jumping Castle available again. I'm sure I don't properly express the gratitude of the kids, but they thoroughly enjoyed it. We just want to thank you guys for doing that. So God bless you. Hallelujah. Well, as was launched and spoken about at the National Rally, and a couple of weeks before that, Vanna came here and spoke about our theme. The CMA theme for this year is courage. And we look at the life of Joshua, where God gave him instructions to be very, very courageous for the tasks that lay ahead of him to be performed. And we're going to be looking at courage for a couple of weeks and seeing, like, in today's day and age, you know, courage is something that's very, very needed, because we're going into times that are increasingly challenging. I'm not a prophet of doom, and I'm not a negative person per se. I'm the type of guy that would rather see the glass half full than half empty. That's just how I am. But the fact is, we're going into challenging times. And we're going to need courage in various ways and times and situations that we're going to find in our lives. And the message that I believe God has laid on my heart for us this morning, I'd asked Madeleine to put it on the pamphlet just as courage, but it's actually, I've called it courage to come back. What does it mean when I say courage to come back? Our theme scripture for this theme for a while is 1 Chronicles 28:20. And the section that we take from the verse is from the NLT. And it just simply says, be strong and courageous and do the work. How many of you know that as the Church of Jesus Christ, there's work to be done? There's work to be done, folks. We have a huge calling and responsibility on the Church of Jesus Christ in South Africa. I think I need to preach to myself a lot more, and I need to remind myself of the sermons that God gives me when I look at the situation and the current situation in South Africa. Let's just choose one aspect, the economy. When I say to you economy, what thoughts go through to your mind? If you're a business person, if you receive a salary or if you pay salaries, or you've got no income, if I say to you the economy, maybe you rely on some form of government pension, be it an old age pension, be it a disability pension, be it a Wilnie Werknie pension, or whatever kind of a pension. If I say the economy, let's just start there. There's a tremendous responsibility on the body of Christ. As the body of Christ, hoe praat jy moet in mense in situasies waar daar's net geen hoop? Daar is nie 'n uitweg nie. Hoe praat jy moet en so, hoe moedig jy so 'n persoon aan? Soos in regtig, wat sê jy vir so 'n persoon? Hoe, wat deel ons met hulle? Om vir hulle te sê, kyk, die Here is in beheer, God het 'n plan. Maar dit is dan so maklik om ons blind te staar aan die feite. Maar die bemoediging en die waarheid wat ons moet koester en bedink en mediteer heeltyd dag in en dag uit, soggens, saans, elke keer wanneer jy negatief wil word, nee, is die volgende. Jy kry die konsep van feite en die konsep van die waarheid. Die twee kan nooit by mekaar kom nie. Die feite is, hierdie puntjie van Afrika, nee, Suid-Afrika, is in groot, groot moeilikheid. Dis chaos. Dis die feite. Maar die waarheid is, God bly God. God bly God. Ek wil jou bemoedig volgens, ongeag, my liewe broer of suster, wat jy voel of wat jy glo. God is nie wie jy glo hy is nie, hy is wie hy is. Daar's 'n groot verskil soms. Baie mense sê, nee, die Here wat ek ken, sal nie so iets doen nie. Ja, maar die God van die Bybel bly die God van die Bybel. Dis die courage wat ons moet mense moet mee opbou en hulle inpraat en sê mense, jy het rede om te glo en te vashou aan die waarhede van die skrif en die beloftes wat God vir ons gegee het. Maak dit sin vir julle vanoggend. Is it making sense? We have such a responsibility and I believe so wat ons nader aan die dag kom aan die wederkoms of die wegraping of whatever jy na uitsien, die dag wanneer jy voor Jesus gaan staan en aan die liefdevolle oë fisies kan kyk, word al hoe nader en nader, en wat ons nader en nader kom aan daai dag, die verantwoordelikheid van die kerk groei al hoe meer en meer en meer. Dames en heren, Jesus Christus het nie aarde toe gekom, sodat ons die ewigheid met hom kan deurbring in die hemel nie. Dit klink soos heresie, nie. Dis nie die hoofdoel vir sy visit na aarde toe, vir die 33,5 jaar oud wat hy hier was. Dis nie die doel, dat ons een dag by die Here kan wees. Die doel, is sodat ons die koninkryk kan van God weer hierso kan beerwe en hierso beleef in die hier en die nou. It's to restore the kingdom of God. That's the primary purpose of Jesus' death and resurrection. To restore the kingdom, not just one day when we're up in heaven experience the things. And folks, dis in tye soos die wat ons moet what is courage? It's Afrikaans word for courage. Moed. Dapper is brave. Moed is meer, nee. Dankie vir jou dapperheid om op te staan en te skreeuw, maar sy het moed gehad om te doen. Ek moet opstaan. Halleluja. But that's the point, we've got to have courage. Now, we've got to have, I call this courage to come back, because I'm battling for titles these days. God gives me the sermon, but he like leaves the title up to me, you know, like, yes, Lord. Courage to come back. I know because people are people. If you take a blade or whatever and you cut my wrist, the blood that comes out is red, just like yours. It's not some special pastor color. It's red, just like yours. En die punt wat ek probeer maak is, ek is ook 'n mens. Ek is ook 'n mens. Dieselfde uitdagings en die issues waarmee mense gekonfronteer word op 'n daaglikse basis, face ek ook elke dag. Daarom kan ek met vrymoed vir julle sê vanoggend die volgende. Ek weet, hier's mense hierso. You've been beaten up and been trodden upon and had so many bad blows dealt to you in your life. You just, man. You're not thriving. You're just existing. Don't put up your hand. You're not thriving. You're just existing. You're going through, you barely got your head above water. Maybe it's because of stuff that you've done in the past and the devil keeps accusing you. And if that's you this morning, then God has got a message for you this morning, my brother, my sister. God has got a message for you. Because one of the strategies of the enemy is to keep driving a wedge of guilt between you and Jesus. Think about the shape of a wedge. You don't think about the shape of a pizza slice. Stay with me. The shape of a wedge. Okay. The shape of a wedge. It's shaped in such a way that when you hit it from the back, it goes in and in and it causes the gap to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's one of the enemy's strategies to keep driving a wedge of discouragement and guilt and condemnation between you and the enemy because of stuff that you've dealt with, stuff that's under the blood of Jesus, stuff that's already forgiven you of. And we need courage to come back to Jesus. Why do I say that? We'll look at some examples from the scripture. It's human nature. Okay, let's put it this way. Remember when you were a kid and you'd done something wrong, but they hadn't yet found you out. What did you try and do? You tried to hide it. You tried to cover it up. You tried, what did you try and do? To really get to grassroots level, you tried to get away from the authority figure in your life with whom you'd have to face consequences for dit wat jy verkeerd gedoen het. Is dit so nie? Nothing's changed today when it comes to the things of God. When we do wrong, in general, oor die algemeen, human nature is to do what? Move away from God. Ek het droog gemaak, so God's not going to hear my prayers now, because look what I've just done. So you know what, I'm going to stop reading, I'm going to stop praying, I'm going to stop worshiping, I'm not listening to go to church anymore, because I'm just going to be a hypocrite. Is it so? Human nature wants to shy away from God, want to withdraw from God, when the best thing that we can do is to throw ourselves at the mercy of Jesus. Only He can fix the mess-ups that we make. Only He can fix it. Have you noticed how many of you have blushed and have had reason to blush? You do something wrong, you want uitgevang. Some of you are starting to blush right now because you think, oh Lord, please don't tell Him what I've done. You know that the human being is the only creature in all of creation that has the ability to blush and reason to do so. No other created thing can do that. So even the conscience knows that to cover sin, what does it need? Blood. Have you ever thought about that? Blood rushes to your face because we need the blood of Jesus to cover our sins. Dit help nie jy gaan probeer wegsteek en there's nothing that God doesn't know. And we've got to run to the Lord and have courage to come back to Jesus. In John chapter 6, Jesus makes some radical statements about Himself. He starts speaking about Himself being the bread of heaven. And He tells the tip, He says, I'm the bread of heaven. And He means the chicken would say, how can He say that? This is Joseph and Mary's son. We know this lighty. We've watched him grow up. And yeah, this kid comes along and he says that he's the bread of heaven. And then, as if that's not enough, he goes on and he says, if you want to experience eternal life, you must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Mense, ons lees so vinnig daar verby in die skrif. Bedink net bietjie vir jouself, hoe was dit vir die mense van die dag om dit te hoor? Waar hierdie ou, hulle het hom sien groot word. You know? And yeah, he starts making these claims that I'm the bread of heaven. You must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood to inherit eternal life. And it's like, what are you on about, dude? You had bietjie te laat gekuier gisterand. You mean, bietjie. And then he says, if this offends you, what are you going to do if I tell you that you're going to see me ascend to the Father? It's like, then you're really going to flip. And he makes these statements. And then in John chapter 6 and verse 60, it says here, in verse 60 it says, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? So, who said this? Who said it? Okay, I'm going to read it slowly to you. Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Who said it? His disciples. So they were already in a process of being discipled by Jesus. Okay? It's not the Pharisees, Sadducees, couldn't sees, and the wouldn't sees. Disciples. I suppose there were Sadducees and Pharisees that were busy being discipled as well. But the disciples said this. And verse 66 of John 60, it says, and from that time, many of his disciples, many of who? Many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. You see, maybe Jesus or the Holy Spirit has challenged you about something in your life where you decide, Lord, I love you and I want to do this Christian thing, but I've got my limits, Lord. So far nie meer nie. Jy het net tot so ver. I'm prepared to receive your grace and forgiveness, but when it comes to me forgiving and extending grace to others, Lord, I've got my limits. You know what they've done to me. You know what? You, God, you can forgive. I am me. I'm going to hold on to this offense a little bit longer. Maybe God has challenged you to change some part of your lifestyle. Maybe God has asked you to be obedient, to share your faith with somebody, to invite that person for a meal, to make restorations for a broken relationship, to honor God financially. And you said, Lord, this is what you're saying. Lord, many of his disciples from that time turned and went back and they followed him no more. Folks, when that happens in our lives, we need courage to come back to Jesus. Because what happens is a growing sense of unworthiness starts creeping in, and the enemy drives that wedge. He hits it in deeper and deeper and deeper to keep you away from the things of God. I know. Listen, it's got nothing to do with me or the sermons that I preach. But I know God speaks to people week in and week out within the confines of these four walls. Because He's God. 5 of you believe that. Hopefully God will speak to the rest. He's turning and following us no more. Hallelujah. And God has spoken to you about something over and over and over. Hey, Mozzie, that was naughty. Lord, have mercy upon my soul. Okay. Now we're going to see who's got courage to come back now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God is speaking to us, folks. And then some of us have just not done anything about what God has said. En dan bid jy nie, en dan wonder jy, Here, maar die Here antwoord nie my gebede nie. Okay, die vraag wat ek graag aan jou wil stel is, wat het jy gedoen aangaande dit wat God reeds vir jou gesê het? If you're not hearing from God, what have you done about the last thing that He's told you to do? Start there. Let's start there. What's coming up in my spirit is now a sermon series we've done, I think we did in 2017 or 2018 sometime. Remember we did the sermon series on love, where God was teaching us about loving, 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 loving. What have we done about that? Loving the unlovable. Because I submit to you that I'll use me as an example, because I won't get offended by what I say to myself. Myself? Am I doing what God has told me to do about loving the unlovable then? Because if I haven't, why must God say anything more to me? Why? Because I'm exclaar ongehoorsaam. So yeah, they turn and they stop following Jesus because of this radical statement that he had made. And then Jesus says, verse 67 to 68 of John 60, he says, do you also want to go away? Why? He knew what was in their hearts, and he still asks them this question so they could ask themselves. I submit to you that they were probably thinking these things. He said, do you guys also want to go now? Okay, let's see who's going to stick with me now. But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Derie, ander woorde, Here, ons het nêrens elders om te gaan nie. Hoe gaan ons waar daardeur? Hier moet ons bly, want die woorde van die ewige lewe is by U en U alleen. Hier moet ons bly. But what do we do when we like those disciples that have turned back? Maybe you know people like that have just turned back from following the Lord for whatever reason. It takes courage to encourage a person like that to come back. It takes courage in that individual to come back to the Lord. The enemy wants to drive this wedge between us. In Luke 17, verse 11 to 17, I'm just giving you the reference, Luke 17, 11 to 17, Jesus heals 10 lepers. And the story goes on to see that 10 lepers are healed. They come and Jesus is walking into the town. They see Jesus in a distance and they say, Son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus calls them to him and he heals them. And the interesting thing is, you don't see Jesus, it doesn't describe him laying hands on them and them seeing their leprosy be healed. It says, as soon as they turned and started walking away, they were healed. They had to turn around in faith before it had even happened. Read the Bible. So Jesus says, go, you're healed. And you're like, okay, Lord, but hello, nothing's happened. But they walk away in faith. And when they walk away in faith, their miracle comes and they are healed. 10 of them. One comes back to give thanks. And Jesus says, 10 were healed. Where are the other 9? He knew exactly where they were, what was going on in their hearts, but he asked that question to get the people to ask. Okay, so when God does a miracle in your life and he brings the breakthrough, do you have the courage to bring him glory? Do you have the courage to give him thanks? And if you hadn't, maybe this morning you're part of the 9. God has done something. You said, Lord, I'm going for this interview, Lord, and if I just get this job, Lord, I promise you, God, I'm going to start going to church regularly. I promise you, God, I'm going to honor you financially. I'm going to try and live right. And you get the job and it's te lekker and you create bonus and increase and bevordering and on. Voordat jy weet, Sondag na Sondag na Sondag, kuier jy saam met die manne rondom die braaivuur en jy sit nie jou voet in 'n kerkgebou nie. Maybe you're one of those 9. Maybe you need encouragement this morning. Say, God hasn't forgotten you. God hasn't stopped loving you. It takes courage to come back to Jesus. They walked away. I submit to you that the Holy Spirit worked in all of their lives. One was obedient. Mense, daai persentasie, die 10% sien ons oor die algemeen in die liggaam van Christus vandag. ek wil nie op geld fokus, omdat vandag die AGM is nie, nee. Maar die presentasie van die liggaam van Christus wereldwijd, wat God se tiendes aan hom terugbesorg, wie wil raai wat het is? Worldwide, the percentage of the body of Christ that returns God's tithes to him. Take a guess. Speak to me. 10. I got 10%, 10%, anybody can 5%, 13%, 15%, 10%. 10%. Dan wonder ons hoekom die wang ding bang ding ding ons 'n gebou kan bou in Midrand vir 120 miljoen kontant en ons sukkel met 'n ou boufondsie vir ons ou kerkie. En is nie 'n wang ding ding bang ding gemeente wat daai ding gebou het, een ou het besluit, o, ons wil 'n mosk bou. Ja, en die punte van die mosk moet fisies bokant enige ander gebou in die area wees, sodat ons die autoriteit van Allah kan bewys. Een ou het 120 bar uit sy sak gehaal en gesê, "De, bou hom." En dan moet predikers hulle harte uitpreek. Hoekom is dit so? Die Heilige Gees het al 10 van die malaatsers genees. Die oortuiging van die Heilige Gees het een man se hart omgedraai. Wat van die ander? It takes courage to come back to God at times like this. Are you glad you came to church this morning? Matthew 26, 36 to 40. Jesus asks his disciples to pray with him. I submit to you, it was probably the greatest hour of need in Jesus' life. I submit to you, probably the greatest hour of need. And he says, boys, it's like going to his closest disciples, Peter, James, and he says, guys, this is crunch time now. This stuff's about to get real. I've been telling you that they're going to come and get me. The man of the Son of God must be crucified, must be buried, and will be raised again to life on the third day. But now this is happening. Now, this night, I'm going to be arrested. They're going to come and they're going to take me. Guys, just stay with me. I know I've got to do this, but guys, it's difficult. Please, just pray with me. I can imagine Peter, sure, Lord, yeah, we're going to be there, Lord. You can count on us, you're going to be there. Jesus prays. He prays. And he finds them fallen asleep. And I remember when I first, I thought, what a bunch of chops. The tools. He just asked them, just pray with me. And they're sleeping. What a bunch of jerks. I was like so self-righteous and critical and pointing. And then I discovered you find it in the Gospel of Luke, not in the other Gospels. You know why they fell asleep? It wasn't because they were tired. They fell asleep from sorrow. I think it finally started to sink in what Jesus was saying all the time. Because when Jesus spoke about his death and resurrection, you could see, if you read the scriptures, it seems as if the disciples, they just couldn't get it. They just couldn't understand what he was saying. They'd ask amongst themselves, what is he talking about? He'd like say, yeah, the Son of Man is going to be arrested and died, crucified and be raised again. It's like, yeah, okay, whatever. And they carried on. They didn't seem to get what he was saying. And I think maybe it started to sink in the garden where they realized, whoa, this is about to happen. Because sorrow for what? They just had a lack of chow together. They'd eaten together. He asked them, come with me, guys. We're going to go into the garden and we're going to pray. He says to them, you guys pray over here. I'm going to pray over there. What principle do we learn from that? Every one of us must have a time where we separate ourselves from everything and everyone and do business with God. He says to them specifically, you guys pray over here. I'm going to go pray over there. Just watch with me and pray with me. Okay, guys? Sharp. Okay, check you, Lord. See you later, Jesus. The Bible says this in Luke 24, Luke 22, verse 45. When he rose up from prayer to come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. They were sleeping from sorrow. If that is you, I worded it like this. Do you have the courage to come back to Jesus when you've been caught napping on the job? When you've been caught napping on the job, you've gone into a spiritual slumber. Maybe you're not as on fire and excited for the Lord as you were shortly after you gave your life to the Lord. Maybe you weren't, you're not as excited and on fire the last time as you were the last time the Lord gave you some financial breakthrough. Maybe you've cooled off a little bit. It's not like you stop believing in Jesus. You love the Lord. You have a devotional life in your thought life and in your heart. But maybe you just cooled off a little bit. We need courage to come back to the Lord when we're caught napping on the job. I wonder what was it like for the disciples when Jesus came to him and said, "Guys, couldn't you just watch for me with an hour?" And he didn't ask them to pray specifically for an hour. But the scripture says he asked them, "Couldn't you just watch with me just for an hour? Just 60 minutes just to pray with me? They're going to come and arrest me, guys. I really, really need you now, boys." What was it like for them? Imagine, I can imagine this, picture this in the garden. They're like, it's peaceful. No highways. No doo, 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 music in the background. No the glare of some cell phone screen on somebody. The garden, quiet, rustig. You dossing so lekker. And you feel, and it's Jesus. Like, "Couldn't you pray with me 1 hour? What did they see in the face of Jesus? The scripture says that he sweated blood. It has been medically proven that under extreme emotional and mental stress, the pores of your skin dilate to the point where the blood surfaces. It's documented fact. That's what he was going through. Under such stress and emotional strain that he sweated blood. And he comes and he wakes them up. I submit to you, it must have taken courage for those disciples to say, we can still follow Jesus. Surely Jesus has given up on us now. I mean, he asked us to watch with him. But they had courage to stick with Jesus. Yes, they all deserted him when he was arrested and stuff like that, but God continued to use them afterwards. We see that. And this Peter, James, and John, we see Peter, spoken to by Jesus, and he says, Peter says, "Lord, others may leave you, others may forsake you, but I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you." And Jesus says, "Peter, before the rooster crows three times, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times this night. You're going to deny me three times." And we know the story. Peter denies Jesus three times and the rooster crows. And after the rooster crows, the words of Jesus come back to Peter. And Peter remembers them. What was it like for Peter thinking that? Think about it, people. Think about it. What was it like? What went through Peter's heart and his mind when he realized, he said it, and I've done it. Guys, I don't know if I would have ever dared to look at Jesus again if it was me. I'd feel too ashamed, too embarrassed, I feel worthless. And Jesus makes a prediction. He foretells Peter what Satan wants to do to him. In Luke 22, 31 and 32, he says to him, "Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat." And this is exactly what the enemy ends up doing to Peter. "He may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." You see, Peter might have given up on Jesus in those times, but Jesus never gave up on Peter. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus never gave up on Peter. He knew exactly what Peter's going to do. "You're going to deny me." Not once, not twice. Three times, but Jesus says, "Peter, I know what the devil wants to do to you. He wants to have all your eight all. But I've prayed for you. And when you have returned to me," what does that teach us? Folks, no matter how much, hoe jy droog maak, waar jy verkeerd gaan, waar jy van die bus afval, maybe you haven't even gotten on the bus to get off it for the first time, in the first place, or to fall off it. You haven't even gotten on the bus. You're not even at the bus stop. You're so far from the dinge van die Here af. You're still part of God's plan. You're part of God's plan. You say, "But Mozzie, you don't know what I've done." You're right, and I don't want to know. God knows. You must say, I don't know. You don't know how many times I've promised to God and I've made this commitment and I've still done. Yes, I know I don't know, but God knows. You're still part of God's plan. Why on earth would God choose somebody like Peter to deny him? None of the other disciples denied him, but he still chose Peter to be part of his plan. You know why? Because he's God. He can. You're not worth something because he died for you, but because you're worth something, he died for you. I'll say that again. You're not worth something because he died for you. It's because you're worth something that he died for you. He always wants you part of his plan. We need courage to remind ourselves of that, people. Don't let the enemy continuously drive this wedge between you and your Redeemer. We need to throw ourselves at the mercy feet of Jesus when this happens. Take courage to do that. Courage to come back to the Lord. I wonder what it was like. Do you feel that you've betrayed Jesus in some way? If that's you this morning, take courage to come back to Jesus. Take courage to come back to the Lord. So, Mozzie, well, why must I come back? I mean, what reasons are there? I want to start ending this off with reasons to come back, to give you hope and motivation to come back. If you're feeling discouraged and just downtrodden by the enemy and you don't want to come back to the Lord, what reasons do we have? What makes it worth our while to come back to the Lord? A few encouraging scriptures. Psalm 46 and verse 1. It says, God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble. He's our refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble. What is a refuge? A refuge is a place to hide, to take shelter, to take cover. When you just, and I put it like this in the notes, when you just want to get away from it all, do you feel like that sometimes? I'm being honest with you, church, we're family this morning, right? Before I'm the pastor of this church, I'm a member of this church. Think about that. Before I'm the pastor of this church, I'm a congregant. I need the ministry and the encouragement and the upbuilding and the upliftment and the support and the care and the love of the body just as much as the next person, probably even more. There are times where I just want to get away from it all. There are times where I don't feel like getting up and preaching. Now I'm going to give you reason to want to leave this church and go to another church. Are you ready? Can you handle it? Or will you decide from this moment, I'm going to follow him no more? There are times where I don't want to open the Bible. Maar jy is 'n pastoor. Yes. And I know, what's the clearest my bloed? Deal with it. He's a refuge. A refuge. Why does he use a refuge? You can run. When you just want to get away from it all, you can run to him and find safety and refuge in the Lord. That's why you can come back to him. That's why you can have courage and go to him and say, Lord, I've denied you more times than Peter, and I'm going to change, and I'm inconsistent, and I'm not the same, and ek lieg en ek bedrieg, but you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus. I'll come back to you. You can take courage in that church. He's a refuge. Can you say amen? And it says, your refuge and strength. Sometimes we need strength when we just cannot go on anymore. You just cannot go on anymore. There's things that are, it's just me, okay? Elke brommer het sy, het die ding wat sy aandag trek. And there's things that I do to my body where I just cannot go on anymore. I'm just, physically, I cannot go on anymore. Times like that, spiritually, where God is our strength. Where you just, I'm going to say it like this. How many times do you get to a place in your life where you're sick and tired of being sick and tired? Kan jy aanklank vind by dit vanoggend, mense? Is anybody out there that's human and real? It's those times where you need strength. You're just sick and tired of being sick and tired. Sometimes I turn on the TV and I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired of die klomp. I'm just, ek's op. I just got to go to the Lord and say, Lord, just give me strength. Just give me strength, Lord. Just give me strength to see another day. Give me strength to just get through this day. And he's a very present help. It's bad English. It's like asking, are you married? Yes. Well, how married are you? He's of teenwoordig, of he's nie teenwoordig nie. Maar die skrif sê, he's very present. He's a very present help in time of need. I say, well, how can I benefit from this, Lord? I tell you what, when my natural eyes are men, ek lig op die einde van die tunnel. Ek kan nie eens die tunnel sien, dis so donker, man. Wat nog van lig op die einde van die tunnel? In times like that, he's a very present help in time of need. I've got to get courage to come back to this God in times like that. He's a refuge, he's a strength, and he's a very present help in time of need. Proverbs 18 and verse 10, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. It's like, I find it difficult to relate to that. The name of the Lord is a strong tower because I don't need a strong tower. You've got to understand to whom this was written. This was written to people who were engaged in warfare, continuously fighting battles, going, plundering enemies, defending themselves against enemies, soldiers, people of war. When you say there's a strong tower for you to run to, he found, follow on, you're outnumbered. There we were, 2 against 50. It was the toughest 2 we ever fought. I'm talking, some of you, it's gone right over your head, but when you're outnumbered and you're outgunned, and you've got no chance of victory, you see, there's a strong tower. I can run there, and if I can just get to that tower, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Maybe you're sitting here and thinking, you know, jy kan nie aanklank vind by enige iets wat ek gepreek het tot so ver. Your time is coming. Just stick around, see. Your time is coming. Your time is coming. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it. We sang a song like that years ago, remember? The name of the Lord is... Okay, I won't put you off that song forever. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. It means something to people engaged in warfare and fighting battles. And this, I cannot get over this psalm. I love this. Like, I can't get over John 3:16. I'm still not over John 3:16. But Psalm 103, verse 12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. I think the psalmist got this revelation from God. And how do you describe the reality of bringing your sin back into contact with the forgiveness of God? It cannot happen. The East can never, ever, ever meet the West. The further you go in an easty direction, the further you go from the West. The further you go in a westy direction, the further you go in an easty direction. As far as the East is from the West, so far has he removed our sins from us. That's encouragement. That gives me courage, Lord. I've repented of this. Jesus, you've paid the price. You've already paid the price for my forgiveness. And I can receive forgiveness for these sins of mine. Isaiah 1, verse 1 to 15. 15 verses describe how bad the people are. A lot of the character traits mentioned about these people we see in our lives. Isaiah 1, 1 to 15. 15 verses of what they're doing. They've done this against God. And all, the list just goes on and on and on and on and on. 2 verses 16 and 17 we skip. And verse 18 it says, God turns around and says this to the prophet Isaiah. Not in spite of, not because of those 15 verses, but just because he's God, he says this. Come now, let's reason together. The same people he's described from verse 1 to 15. Read it in your own time. Check net bikkie wat se nonsense hierdie mense aangejaag het. And then to those people, he says, not the ones that are dedicated, not the ones that are committed, not the ones that are trying, not the ones that are in regular fellowship, that are honoring God, that are testifying and sharing their faith and are just following hard after, not those ones. Those folks described in Isaiah 1:15, to them he says, come now, let's reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God's saying, come. Let all of this, I know you've done all of this. I know what I would have said. You miserable little, you son of a, you. And he says, no. It's like saying, come, come. I know all of this. I know you at your worst, but I still want you. What a God. I know you at your worst, but I still want you. I still want you. He says, come. Let's sit down. Let's talk through this thing. Although your sin is red like scarlet, it'll be white as wool. I'll wash you. You'll be clean, as pure as the driven snow. And that's my encouragement to you this morning, church, and the encouragement from the Lord this morning as we just think about this. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, Lord, I'm far away from you, Lord. I want to come back to God like this. We have reason to. We have reason to. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. He's a refuge and strength and a very present help in time of trouble. And he says, come. Although your sin is red like scarlet, make it pure as wool. Red like crimson, make it pure as snow again. Come to the Lord. Wherever you are at this morning, I pray the Lord's encouragement over each and every single one of you to come back to the Lord. Take courage to follow the Lord. If you're at that place in your life where the wedge has been driven in this morning, stop it. Don't let the enemy drive that wedge in anymore. Take courage to come back to the Lord, because there's reasons to come back to the Lord. We've heard it this morning. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads in prayer as we pray together? Father, perhaps we're at a place in our lives where we don't really need courage because things are just lacquer, Lord. It's just good right now and things are okay. And we bless and thank you for that, Lord. And maybe you're in a place where you feel that wedge has just driven you so far apart. How can you possibly be restored to Jesus? I want to encourage you this morning about the unending, the reckless love of God that we sang about this morning. There's no shadow that he won't light up, no mountain he won't climb up, no wall he won't tear down or kick down. There's no lie that he won't dispel to just come after you. He'll leave the 99 just to come and find that one lost person. And if that's you this morning, God is reaching out to you and calling out to you and say, I want you, I love you, I need you, I want to be with you. I want to spend an eternity with you. And if you feel you need encouragement in that area in your life, right there where you're seated, just in your own words, take a moment or two and just ask God for courage. Pray like this to God. Don't have to use these exact words, but say, God, in Jesus' name, I need encouragement, Lord God. The enemy's accused me for so long. I've started to believe his lie, that I'm not worthy and I cannot come back to you. And I don't want to believe his lie anymore, Lord. I want to come back to you, Lord. Lord, you forgave Peter, Lord God, and forgave the people that denied you and others that were found sleeping and just turned their backs on you when you needed the most. Lord God, you forgive me too. And I ask you to forgive me, Lord Jesus. Restore me to a place of right standing with you, Father. And Lord, I'm asking you for courage. And that means this, folks, if you're praying this, that God is going to allow us to face situations where we're going to need courage. We need courage to keep on keeping on. When we're sick and tired of being sick and tired, we're going to need courage to come to the Lord. When we just want to get away from it all, we're going to need courage to come back to the Lord. And as you pray, just trust God that he's going to answer your prayers and hear your prayers this morning. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, maybe you're not sure and secure in your relationship with the Lord. Maybe you're not sure that you even deserve to go to heaven. I want to pray with you this morning. If you feel unworthy and you feel that I don't deserve to go to heaven. I don't deserve to spend an eternity with Jesus. If that's you, if there's anybody like that this morning, would you please raise your hand? Anybody? Once you put your hand up, you can put it down again. Bless you. Anybody else? Okay, bless you. You can put your hands down. Would you stand with us as we worship the Lord one more time? I want to pray a corporate prayer over us, and we're going to end off with a song. And as you do, just do business with God. Continue to do so. Continue to pray. I'm going to pray with you this morning. If you've raised your hands, I'd like us all to all stand and just pray with each other this morning as we pray together, as we come before the Lord this morning. Say, Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that you sent Jesus to die in my place. Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe in my heart, and therefore I pray with my mouth that you died, that you rose again, and that your blood was shed to forgive me of my sins. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. Remove my sin far from me. Come into my life. Come into my heart. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. And thank you for giving me grace to become a child of yours. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've prayed that